Let's say you go all in on a social media platform and then months later that platform gets banned. What does that say about your business? More importantly, is there even any point in doing work on social media at all? We're going to be talking about the latest TikTok ban on today's show. Hello, everyone. My name is Blake Benz. I'm the host of the Good Advice Podcast, and you're going to find some good advice today. There's not a lot of fluff on the show. It's just the stuff that actually works in growing and scaling your business. Now, before we dive in today, we got a lot to talk about this TikTok ban and what it means for the average business owner, especially for you if you've been dabbling on social media, thinking about what does it mean for your business to have a bigger presence on social media. We're going to be talking about all of that on the show today. Of course, we do have a quick word from one of the amazing businesses that sponsor the podcast. If you ever thought about advertising on the show, you can always reach out at blake@goodadvicecoaching.com. Or if you're listening to the podcast and you're like, you know what, I don't know if I want to advertise, but I like what's going on here, you can always buy me a cup of coffee and support the podcast on our Patreon, patreon.com/goodadvice. Let's dive into this conversation, but first, a word from one of our sponsors. See you soon. There's one single piece of advice that I give to business owners who are ready to scale their business drastically. And that's knowing exactly what you need to hand off so that you can continue focusing on what you're an expert in. It amazes me when I talk to business owners who are doing their own bookkeeping and tax prep, and worse, that they're going through all this paperwork at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, even midnight, slaving away trying to make sense of all of the numbers for their business. Business owners who are making it happen have already figured out that you can't do it all yourself. That's why I recommend Steve Lay with Equity Business Solutions. Not only is he an expert in bookkeeping and tax prep, but what I love about Steve is that he'll sit down with you and help you make sense of the value of your business beyond just reading a spreadsheet. You'll be able to make better decisions, and more importantly, you're going to save yourself the crucial time you would have spent going through QuickBooks or an Excel spreadsheet or whatever it is that keeps us up late at night. So save yourself some time and some money by giving Steve Lay a call at Equity Business Solutions, and he'll show you the value beyond your numbers. Go to equitybusinesssolutionsllc.com to find out more. So TikTok is banned as of Friday, just a few days ago. It was signed into law, voted and passed the House and the Senate. And TikTok, as we know it today, is banned in the United States. Now, can you still get on TikTok? Can you still access TikTok? The answer is yes, you can. What the government has done is they basically have gone to TikTok and said, hey, you have, I think it's 9 months. Don't quote me on that. But you have this little bit of a buffer time for you to either sell TikTok away from its Chinese ownership, and ideally maybe to an American company, as I think what they had in mind, or you will be banned. Now, the plot has thickened since this was signed into law. ByteDance, who's the Chinese company that owns TikTok, they came back and said, well, we have no plans to sell the business, so we seem to be at a standstill. Does this mean then that TikTok is going to be banned? It could not. A lot can change in 9 months. In fact, I covered just a few months ago that the CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman, had been ousted from OpenAI. OpenAI is the company that runs ChatGPT. And I put out an article that was like, so is ChatGPT dead? What does this mean? And within like 3 days, Sam Altman had been reinstituted as the CEO of OpenAI. So I've just learned that a lot can change over time. So having said that, I'm drinking my coffee here. My sweet Onyx coffee. Onyx, if you're listening, you're not. But if you are, you should sponsor the podcast. Anywho, so what does this mean? What does this mean for your business? What does this mean for social media in general? I think I will say, by the way, that I think TikTok gets a bad rap. I was talking with a business, with Podcastable, with my other business, with Podcastable, not only do we launch and grow podcasts, but we also do the editing for them and we create content for their social media for them. And I had a customer who was like, hey, can that content be used on TikTok? And I said, yeah, it can. In fact, all the content we create can be used on any platform. That's kind of the beauty of the content. And the person said, well, that's great because our marketing company has told us we shouldn't be on TikTok because none of our customers are children. Or something to that effect. And I've heard versions of this a lot over the last probably 6 to 12 months of, well, if your customer is not a Gen Zer, if your customer is not a kid, then you don't need to be on TikTok. And I'll just say in general that that is a stereotype about TikTok. I want you to know there are plenty of businesses, plenty of people who aren't Gen Z. I don't want to throw out ages here, but plenty of businesses that are leveraging TikTok and leveraging it very well. I think today's social media world, and this is just like a random thing that I think is important to understand, that our social media world today is becoming less and less branded. It's becoming more and more appreciative of organic content and seemingly natural content. I mean, I guess that's the same thing as organic, but things that are less corporate feeling, less sterile. It's actually why much of my content, I've removed a lot of like the logo and design of my podcast content, because I've noticed over the last several months that organic, like content that does well, is it's dropping the logo on it. It's dropping like the color scheme, the borders, all the stuff that you think you should put on social media content. Funny enough, content today that's doing better has less of that stuff because it feels more natural. It feels more authentic, right? But besides that, as a conversation, we're finding platforms like TikTok, among many other platforms, that are simply doing well for a variety of businesses, regardless of its reputation or what people think it's for. Now, this conversation about TikTok being banned, this actually isn't the first time we've talked about this. This even news headline of TikTok being banned, this came up first maybe 2 or 3 years ago, like when TikTok was first becoming viral and getting to be this really special thing. This came into conversation of, could it eventually be banned? And I remember there was a guy that he was posting on LinkedIn and he said, hey, I'm starting a new business. And I think at the time it was called like TikTok for Business or something like that. In today's world, in current day, there's probably several versions of that now. But I remember what the person was selling was, hey, if you want to get started with your business on TikTok, I'll help you do it. Back then, what I talked about was, it's a risky move. It's a risky move to go all in on a platform that could be banned. Now, this was 2 years ago. And as time went on, I was like, well, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe this wasn't, you know, as big of a hesitation that I should have had. Funny enough, now TikTok is banned. And if I'm that business owner, I'm a little nervous. Now, understand something. These things will change all the time. Today, it's TikTok in the news. 3 months ago, it was Twitter or X, right? I was meeting with a friend of mine. We were talking about his business, his marketing, and he was like, dude, it sucks. Like, I had this mega platform on Twitter. I was using Twitter. I had this big tribe of people, and that was like my place. And then, like it or not, Twitter has changed a lot. It's gotten some positive press and some negative press. There are people who use it more regularly now, and there's many people who don't use it as regularly now. Despite your take on Twitter/X, in my friend's situation, it had extremely negatively impacted him, where it was kind of like, dude, I spent all this time on a platform that's now totally different than it was before, and I can't reap the same benefits of it. If I'm a business owner that's exclusively on TikTok, I'm nervous right now. I'm nervous. I'm apprehensive. If I'm a content creator that's exclusively on TikTok, I'm nervous. I'm nervous and I'm thinking, why haven't I leveraged other social media platforms? Now, there's good news for you, by the way. If you're a business owner trying to build your brand, there is an out for you. There's a solution for you to avoid getting in the situation where, you're like, how did I get here? What do I do now? But we're not going to talk about that just yet. Before I get to that, I want to talk about, I got a text and I totally lost my train of thought. So maybe it was like this really incredible point. Maybe it wasn't, right? This is the joy of podcasting is you totally lose sight of what you're talking about. But what was I talking about? Oh, I was going to say that I see this a lot of this advice of, and I'm not knocking anyone who says it. I'm just going to share my experience and you can take it and apply it however you want. Now, let's give a disclaimer. Not all businesses need to be on social media. There's probably a digital marketer out there or a just marketer in general who's balking at me saying that. But I'm just going to let you know, there are many businesses that do not need to leverage social media. There are a variety of ways to grow your business. And what works for one person may not work for you. And what everyone is saying has to happen doesn't necessarily have to happen that way. Here's a perfect example. A friend of mine runs a very successful digital marketing company. He does websites and he does SEO. Those are his two big bread and butters with his business. He has some incredible customers. He has some great monthly recurring revenue. He does not have a website. So the digital marketer who does digital marketing, website, SEO, does not even have a website for himself. Now, is he missing out on some opportunities? Probably. But the way he went about it, and the point I bring this up, is that everybody today would say, well, you have to have a website to grow your business. And in fact, when I work with new business owners, I ask them, hey, what's your plan on having a website? It's only a good idea to have one. But over the years, especially over the last year in specific, I've become more appreciative of things that cut against the grain, that are countercultural, that people are like, well, you got to do this. And then you find someone who doesn't do that. Another friend of mine, Damon Burton, who's been on the show, probably the best expert for SEO in the country, runs a business called SEO National. He's amazing, incredible guy. Well, he put out a post the other day that was basically like, I don't have a niche. I don't. I have customers across all these different industries and I've never niched down. Like maybe it's a bad idea. Damon is a multi-million dollar business owner. Now, again, today people would say, well, you have to, you got to niche down. It's not bad advice. But on the same token, I've always been a fan of just realizing there are just some things that even though everyone's saying it, it may not have to be true for you. Social media is one additional example of that. That if you hate social media, maybe you don't need to be on social media. You know, understanding strategy in your business, it's less about discovering this golden opportunity and going all in on it. Strategy in business is understanding I'm going to dedicate time, resources, money, my attention to this one channel, this one opportunity, and I'm going to say no to some other things. Now, 6 months, 12 months down the road, what have you, you may look back and say, wow, that was a great decision. You may also look back and say, that was a terrible decision. Why did I do that? And for you at that time, it seemed like a good idea. Now you're a bit more savvy in business and you realize in hindsight that, okay, actually I shouldn't have done that. I thought I needed to, but I shouldn't have. And by the way, we see big businesses do this all the time. Spotify, for example, they did worse this last quarter. They let go a bunch of people last year. And when they were asked about their company performing worse, they said, hey, we thought we made the right decision letting all these people go. Now we're realizing that it's actually a bit more difficult to have the same output as we did previously with with less people. It's a lot harder than we thought it was going to be. So it's normal to realize that after the fact. All that being said, social media does not have to be an answer for you. For me in the podcast, I'm on social media every day. It's part of my growth strategy. It's part about directing people to the podcast. I want them to check out the podcast, become a fan of the podcast, maybe and eventually become a customer of mine. Like, there's a whole intentional strategy with it. But I'm saying yes to that, and I'm saying no to paid advertising, for example. So strategy is not, again, about a golden light bulb moment or this amazing opportunity. It's I'm going to say yes to this and focus my time, money, attention, resources here. And I'm going to say no to that, recognizing that I am fallible and I'm going to do the best that I can. And on that too, I will say on social media, we oversimplify decisions. We try to make things simpler than they have to be. I've told this story before, but I was working with a guy I was at an event with a guy who was having some cash flow problems. He was having problem from like the sales point of view of his business. And people were like, well, you just need to hire a salesperson. You just need to hire a salesperson. And they were over, and he was like, well, I can't hire a salesperson because I have no money. And someone was like, well, that's not a growth mindset. You know, you gotta, and I was kind of like, you know, cringing in my seat. I was like, hey, the guy doesn't have money to hire a salesperson. So like giving this overly simplistic answer, it's great as a blog or like a social media post where we oversimplify everything. But in his case, it's not a simple answer. He's better served not, I need to go hire a salesperson and train them and manage them and whatever when I barely have the cash flow to keep the lights on. His problem is I need to reexamine my offer. Why are people not grabbing onto it? How am I not communicating the value that I need to? It's a totally different angle. All that to say, let's get back to the point. Now that I've given my rant on, if you're not on social media and you don't like social media, guess what? It's okay. You are going to be fine. But saying no to that, the question then becomes, what are you saying yes to? How are you going to divert your attention otherwise and devote yourself otherwise to grow your business? It's not just no and then you do nothing. It's no and then what am I doing instead? So let's talk more about this ban. One of the reasons I brought up that whole segue was because many people say, or I say many people, I see this a lot of you got to go all in on one platform. Don't touch the other ones. That's not how I approach things. My approach is to create content that is like a sponge and you can wring it out and replicate it in a multitude of places. So I used to do, for LinkedIn, I would post a soundbite that was in a square format, because that was what the native video content was for LinkedIn. Then I would also create content that was vertical format, because that's what goes on YouTube Shorts or Instagram Reels or what have you. Well, there came a point where I was like, this is dumb. I should just be creating vertical content for everything, which is what I now do. So my content that I create is platform agnostic. And as I engage on each platform, I think a lot of times we think that we have to spend hours and hours and hours on each platform. That's not the case. I spend a couple of minutes posting on each platform. And then over time, one of the platforms has risen to the top for me. I am extremely active on LinkedIn, but I didn't from the get-go say LinkedIn's my only platform. I'm not doing anything else. I posted the content and I let the platform decide which one was going to be my priority. And in my case, being B2B, LinkedIn had sort of a natural rhythm and momentum to it. So I'm all in on LinkedIn, but I still post everywhere else, as many people have seen. But understand what this ban reminds us about for social media content. Your approach to using social media well actually should not be how high can I raise my follower count, or how many comments can I get, or likes, or what have you. Your approach to social media should be, how am I converting people to my tribe? Understand something. When you build a following on social media, the social media platform you use, they ultimately own and control your followers. Now, tomorrow, they could ban you. Tomorrow, the social media platform could go under. Tomorrow, the platform itself could be banned. And then where does that leave you? A friend of mine runs a moving company, and her moving company was housed on Facebook in terms of like, she might have a website, I'm not sure, but was on Facebook, like a Facebook group, a business page, excuse me. I obviously am not savvy on Facebook, otherwise I would have any clue of what I'm talking about here, but was on Facebook. Facebook account got hacked. She lost access to her Facebook account. And long story short, she had to create a new Facebook account or a new Facebook business page. That's a real bummer. Now, she didn't do anything wrong per se. This is what many people do. They create their business page on Facebook or what have you because it's a cheap alternative to like a full-blown website. And for many people who have full-blown websites, they also have the business page because, again, it's an additional channel to reach out to people. But understand something. When the majority of your customers, followers, brand engagers, or what have you are housed on Facebook and you lose your account tomorrow, Facebook owns your access to those people. So it's a two-part conversation. One, you should be not just building your brand, building your tribe, but two, you should be converting the ownership of your tribe to something that you directly control. So me, for example, when someone gets on, engages with me on LinkedIn or what have you, more often than not, I'm pointing them to the podcast because it's less about them knowing me on LinkedIn and it's more about, I want them to be a follower of my show. My show, regardless of the platform it's distributed on, is housed on Podbean. There's an RSS feed. People can access that directly. I also often try to point people to my email. I say, hey, go to my website. I have a This Week's Good Advice email that goes out. Get on that email list. You can hear from me directly. So I'm always looking for ways to control the access myself and ultimately to be in charge of my own destiny. There's nothing worse than going all in on a certain platform and then out of your control, that platform disappears, you lose the account, what have you, and now all of that time and money is for nothing. It's not just TikTok, by the way. Sometimes the way the platform operates can change substantially. Years ago, Facebook was very different. This was before it was also so heavily monetized in terms of like advertising. So years ago, the way that the wall, I don't even know what it's called now. I'm so like out of the loop on Facebook. Years ago, though, the way the wall prioritized content was it was not just people that you were friends with, but it was also groups and organizations you followed. And back then, the algorithm was different in terms of how it showed that content. So Starbucks realized, hey, if we can get people to like, and back then it was different, but effectively today's version of, if we can get people to like our page, this is then going to put our brand on their front page every time we do a piece of content. So Starbucks spent millions building their tribe on Facebook of people who were going to effectively see their brand every single day. Here's what they didn't account for. They didn't account for Facebook's algorithm changing, where now Facebook is so much more keen to show you a variety of content. It's so much more keen to show you ads. And suddenly it became not just a waste of millions of dollars on Starbucks account, but it became actually more profitable for them to pay advertising dollars to get a Starbucks ad in front of you on Facebook than it was to ever get you to be a follower of their page. Now, in Starbucks' case, they are a massive corporation. They have stores all over the world. They can afford to chalk up that loss. They can afford to have lost all that money that they had spent. And they had the cash bank to reinvest their dollars into now digital marketing and digital ads. Do you have that same benefit? Do you have the benefit, not just of cash flow, but to say oopsie to the money you've put into something only for it to go away tomorrow? This isn't like a scare tactic, by the way, with social media. It's a reminder that anything can change tomorrow. So what are you doing to control the access to your tribe and ultimately your customers? It's why I love podcasting. It's why I love email newsletters. It's why I love people looking for ways to create direct conversations with other people. You know, we love these platforms, and in many cases, they do very good things for our business, but we can't forget that anything could change tomorrow. And when things change substantially, you're either a lucky one or an unlucky one. And you know, honestly, what I feel about luck is all about making intentional decisions and hoping you're on the right side of whatever it is that happens. You know, there are people who started restaurants in 2020, in February of 2020, who had no idea what March was going to bring. And then there's other people who they ran title companies or they were real estate people. And when the price of real estate skyrocketed from 2020 on, they're on the right side of luck there. So, takeaways for you today. You know, again, don't feel like you have to be on social media, but if you are on social media, be thinking about how do you convert those people to being part of your brand and your tribe, and that you're not just renting space from one of these popular social media platforms. Hey, that's today's good advice. I so appreciate you listening to today's episode. If you're listening to the podcast, you've never followed or subscribed to us, what the heck are you waiting on? Click the follow or subscribe button so you keep getting good advice wherever you are in your business. Don't forget, you can always advertise on the show. Reach out blake@goodadvicecoaching.com. And don't forget, if you love podcasting, you got to check out our new business, Podcastable. You can go to getpodcastable.com to get a professional sounding and looking podcast for you and some great content for you to share on social media as well. Hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you later. Take it easy.